Welcome everybody to the Out of Chicago podcast, where my guest this week is Nick Ulivieri, and we're going to be covering, man, I don't even know what he photographs. He does Instagram, so that's one thing, and we're going to be talking about that. But he's also sort of a travel photographer, but he doesn't really travel. He does commercial work, which is great. A little bit of aerial stuff. Works a lot with like the Insta groups, the 360. Mm-hmm. How was that for an introduction? Where I got more confused by what you do than anything.
I think that's pretty good. I think it's good to have a diverse portfolio of work.
Go.
So it's, you know, try not to put too many labels on myself. But hey, no. You know, work is work. So
tell me what you meant by, because we were talking about that a little bit before we recorded, but you're like the travel photographer but doesn't really travel.
Yeah, so I just coined that term today talking with someone else. So, you know, I do a lot of architectural work with developers and real estate people, but a lot of that also kind of translates into cityscape type work that is important to a lot of like Chicago tourism. Like I've done work with Chew Chicago and Navy Pier is another big one where, you know, I'm local and I'm taking photos of Chicago, but they're looking for that, you know, what you might see in a travel magazine. So, you know, I do a lot of, traveling, but I don't go anywhere, so I don't know
right.
if that makes any sense, but
no, you travel, it's kind of a hard... You travel within Chicago?
Yeah, I guess I travel within Chicago. So yeah,
and a special shout out to Choose Chicago, who my wife happens to work for. So not that she would listen to this podcast, but maybe if I say like Ruth, honey, you're on. I talk about you on this episode. We talk about Choose. You should listen to it. That may convince her to do it.
Well, maybe I'll see her tomorrow because I have to stop by the offices.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ask for Ruth Garcia.
I will.
Be like, I talked to your husband yesterday. He's an amazing interviewer, and you should help him more with his photography. she stays far, far clear of that. So you do quite a bit, and I was thinking, honestly, I looked over your portfolio, and I kind of didn't know what I wanted to talk to you about because there were so many questions. It's kind of selfish because I'm like, let's see, what would I like to learn about? And that's usually the topic I
think that's a good way to go.
Yeah, absolutely. That's how you meet the people that choose work you enjoy, and then you get some top
exactly.
secrets out of them that you share with, you know, a couple thousand listeners of your podcast. But I sat in on your class on Instagram, and I think that Instagram, you know, initially I thought I knew what it was because I'm an IT guy, so it's like very simple, right? It's a social network. You put your photos up, you have some friends or, you know, people that you follow. They don't necessarily have to follow you back, so it's like Facebook, but one person might not know that the other one's following them if they don't pay attention. And then you can sort of like their photos, and it's very photo-based. However, as I've discovered it, it's not necessarily that way. How high school kids use Instagram is one way, which is very different from how a photographer might use it, which is very different from how like a group of like moms who shares tips or dads who like do this thing X. So what is Instagram?
That's a good question because it's everything, you know, it's everything to everyone and everyone uses it differently, and that is sometimes a challenge. For me personally, and I would think for a lot of photographers, I use it as kind of a ongoing experimental portfolio, so to speak. You know, the work I share through Instagram is the type of work I would love to create for clients. And, you know, I do other work than cityscape and architecture, aerial type photography, but that doesn't make it to my Instagram account. I kind of focus on what I love shooting the most. And in my account profile, I say like my vertical lines parallel because I do a lot of architectural mm-hmm. work. My sky is wild because I love weather and bold colors. And that kind of permeates just about every photo that gets posted to my Instagram account, and I stick to that point of view. You know, I think for photographers who specialize in a lot of different things, you know, my first tip would always be to, you know, focus on what you love shooting the most or what you have the most fun shooting, because I think that'll kind of come through your Instagram account, because Instagram is, you know, about authenticity, and, you know, I love sharing the work that I like the most, and I think that, you know, would work well.
Right. And I'm actually flipping through your Instagram right now, and I followed you for since I saw you at Out of Chicago last year. That's when I sort of got into it and said, okay, you know what, I'm gonna take my account, which was, I would say, hovering just in place, and try and really work on it. I feel a solid sense of consistency through your work. So it's definitely, there is a voice to your account, and it's a unique one that I can feel. If I'm a photographer who's just getting up and running, and somebody asked this in your class too, should I just have that one unique voice? Should I do a little bit of everything? Like, let's say I have some glamour shots that I have, but should I also like have my dog sleeping on the couch because it's just a cool little moment? How do I decide what I should put on?
That, you know, that's probably one of the hardest questions to answer, because, you know, I would say to each their own. There are definitely some people on Instagram who, you know, are militant about sticking to their look, like Jason M. Peterson.
Yes.
You know, he's got these really high contrast black and white photos, and he gets tons of likes every time he posts it. On the other hand, Paul Octavius, he's got a ton of followers, but he posts good photos. He posts moments in time. You know, he'll post a funny screen grab from his Snapchat, and it's such a mishmash of stuff that for me it wouldn't work. Just because, like, I know if I post a photo that's kind of off voice, like, it just doesn't perform well. But for him, you know, the look into his day-to-day life and the projects he works on, people really love. So, I mean, I would tend to think that if you're starting out, though, it's probably good to focus on one, because you want your followers to kind of get used to what you're posting. You know, when people see me post a cityscape or, you know, hopefully waiting for me to post something new.
Right.
You know, they're following me because they liked a certain photo. Chances are they're going to want to see a similar type of photo anytime they're scrolling through their feed.
Right.
So, I mean, there's sometimes if you go, I mean, I go, you know, I go off topic every once in a while. I call it like breaking the feed, just because sometimes you do get a cool photo that you're really proud of. You want people to see it, and it's a cool piece of work. And, you know, probably won't get as many likes, but it's still, you want to show it, you're proud of it. So, I mean, I definitely think you can mix things up once in a while, but, you know, kind of honing in on your point of view is, I think, one of the most important parts of kind of having a successful Instagram account.
Sure. And that seems to be what I'm getting from you a little bit is this. Like, for example, you have a celebrity. Well, let's go with a photographer who's more well-known, like a Joe McNally. I can see his photos online and books, everything else like that. A guy like him, I might be interested in the fact of, like, he's showing me, like, oh, here's our 30-light setup behind the scenes, because I'm following him sort of, I don't want to use the word like celebrity status, but almost like for, like, what's going through your mind to, like, you know, on a daily basis.
Right. I think, you know, if you have an interesting enough life and you're big enough, they want to feel closer to you and know what you're doing and what you're doing behind the scenes. And I would love to get to that point, but for me, I still feel like kind of just presenting Instagram as a portfolio of my work is, it's a photography business is a tough world, and
climbing that hill.
Yeah, you're always climbing the hill. You know, just, you think you're established, but you know, all of a sudden you don't have a project for 2 weeks. You're like, what happened? So, you know, for me, it really is about kind of creating a consistent portfolio. And you know, so many people are on Instagram. That Instagram just said 500 million users, 300 million daily users.
Yeah.
You know, if you go and meet with prospective clients, or you know, just networking with people, and for all intents and purposes, they have your portfolio in their hand or their pocket because they probably have Instagram. So it's one of the best social networks, I think, for photographers, because it's, I mean, a couple clicks and everyone can see some of your newest and freshest work.
And folks will say that, you know, I can only focus on so many things. Let's assume that many photographers, almost everybody I know, has a Facebook. They either use their personal page for their photography mm-hmm. or they have a business page. So let's say that you're using that part. So then I'm going to say, you know what? I have limited resources. I can either learn the Twitter thing. I can either learn the Instagram thing. Maybe I should refocus on blogging. Maybe I could do up to two of those. But what would your pick be for expanding my photography business and my following? And who's my audience? I would think that, I don't know, maybe on Twitter I can get more like everyday people that I can connect with, some of my clients. I don't know if they're on Instagram necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, I spend a lot of time on Twitter, Instagram, and I mean, to some effect, Facebook. I post to my Facebook page, but you know, maybe it's a couple times a week and the upkeep isn't, you know, is kind of minimal. So I have a presence there, but really I'm on Twitter because I love Twitter. You know, it's not always just about pushing out my work. It's about, you know, news and information and other photographers. And I think that's a great way to connect with media and brands for a photographer through Twitter, because you could share photos. And you know, sometimes media wants to use them. Sometimes people want to buy photos.
Right, and they react to it. They react to it. You see on the news, like there's live Twitter feeds.
Right, and photos perform really well on Twitter. But it, you know, it's not necessarily photography based, because there's so many people doing so many different things. But really, Instagram is kind of where it's at because it is so visually focused. But you don't have to be a photographer to be successful at Instagram, which is kind of interesting as well. I follow this, I mentioned it in my my talk yesterday. I follow this account called Built Sharp. This is kind of a random example.
Hang on, I'm going to look it up right now as this week. What's
B-I-L-T
it called?
B-I-L-T.
Okay.
Sharp, S-H-A-R-P.
Okay.
And this guy makes these really cool custom knives. And, you know, the photos aren't, you know, it's not about the photos or the stellar photography. It's about the story of the things he makes.
Right.
And he uses to tell this really cool story. And I follow him because of that.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I'm looking at his knives here.
Yeah,
actually, some of the photos are mediocre.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. But the knives are cool.
He does some really cool stuff. So while you don't have to have good photos, you have to have a good story. But if you can tell a good story with great photos on Instagram, you know, I would say a good photographer has a leg up on the competition. Because so many marketers and brands and companies are on Instagram, you know, it's a good way to get noticed by companies and brands and people who may need photos, because chances are the person who runs their social media account, their Instagram account, also has their own Instagram account, and they may follow you there. So I think personally, if I had to pick one social media outlet that's kind of brought me the most business, I would say most definitely it's been Instagram, because I've gotten, you know, direct messages through Instagram, comments on Instagram about buying prints or working together.
Yeah.
And so many emails start off with, oh, I saw this Instagram post, or I would, at least that's, you know, it's kind of, they don't have, you know, the numbers to prove it, but
right.
I would say, you know, I rarely see Twitter or Facebook, you know, the word Instagram pops up more often in terms of potential client projects.
Okay. And so let's focus in on that, because I'm guessing that a lot of people have that maybe 0 to 500 followers, and that's maybe the number of people that they're following, and so they want to get to that level where somebody notices them on Instagram. I think a lot of people are familiar with hashtags. How should I start using Instagram to up my brand? So having the number of followers is important to a certain degree, because if a company is going to reach out, I'm going to guess that even if my work is stellar, they're going to be hesitant with 500 or less than 1,000 followers. What's the path that you would suggest the new photographer take? We know that you have your style and your voice, maybe focus in on mm-hmm. that at first, and you might have that cute photo of like your cat sleeping on the couch. Maybe share that one on your personal Facebook page, possibly. What's next? I'm hashtagging a lot. How much?
Yeah, hashtagging is definitely important to get your photos noticed, because that's really, you know, that's like your keyword search. Any hashtag you add to your photo is a way that photo can be found if people are looking at that hashtag. But I think, you know, if you're really using it to get client work, the follower count doesn't matter so much, particularly not as much as it did maybe even 1 or 2 years ago. And it depends on the type of work you're talking about, too. You know, Instagram has gotten weird to the point where, you know, it's one thing to hire a photographer for work, but now, you know, there's the word influencer. You know, mm-hmm. it's the brand coming to a prominent Instagrammer and saying, hey, will you post a photo of X,
right,
and we'll give you money for it.
So, or in the technical term, the connector, right?
Yeah, and it's a weird world because you no longer have to be you don't even have to be a good photographer to be an influencer because you have a lot of followers. But in the recent, you know, 2 years ago, brands were just throwing money at influencers and products and saying, hey, post this and we'll give you this. And, you know, it's like the more followers you had, the more chance you had at that happening. And more recently, it seems like kind of brands and marketers have, I don't want to say gotten smart to the fact that a lot of people buy followers, or it might not be as valuable as they thought. So what they're looking for now, in potential, you know, partners for photographic work is, you know, the quality of engagement. You know, you may not have 10,000 followers, but you have a handful of followers, but you get a lot of comments. You get a higher ratio of likes, and people are actually
interacting
yeah. with you. You know, you interact with people, and you know that may help you get more influencer type Instagram jobs. But I still think, you know, the quality of your photos will help more for, you know, your typical commercial work where they say, wow, we really like this photo. We want to work with this guy on a campaign, not necessarily so you can promote them on your Instagram, but because they need high quality photos.
Right.
And I would say to do that.
Which is completely different,
yeah,
because they're not saying do this campaign for us and then post the photo, which you might end up doing anyway.
Probably would, yeah, but you're not, you know, they're not giving you a case of Budweiser and saying, hey, take a photo of this new America can,
right,
and with the skyline in the background. But, you know, to get noticed by brands, I think you need to follow them. You know, follow the people you want to work with and be, I don't want to say smart, but, you know, sometimes actually not physically, but tag them in the photo. If you do the type of work you think, like, for instance, you know, I would love to work with Skidmore, Owings, and Merrill, the architects who did John Hancock and Sears Tower. I don't know if that'll ever happen, but every once in a while...
I'll see if I can beam this podcast episode.
Yeah, that would be great. You know, every once in a while, if I have a really stellar photo of, you know, the Hancock or Sears, and I post it to Instagram, like, I will actually tag their account and, you know, place the little tag right on the building, so mm-hmm. hopefully they see it, you know, because if you mention someone in a caption and they get a lot of action, it's going to quickly fall down their news feed,
okay,
and they may never see it. But at least with a tag, you know, there's kind of the photos of me,
right,
photos of you section, it will always be there.
Right.
So,
and that usually moves a little bit slower,
yes,
if you're actually
you're usually
tagged.
Not tagged as often as you're mentioned in the comments.
Yeah.
So, but I would say do it within reason. You know, if you really want to work with a brand and you tag them in every photo you take to be like, notice me, you know, that could get kind of annoying and they might never work with you.
Yeah.
So, you know, tag relevant photos with relevant accounts and,
sure,
you know, make sure it's, you don't overdo it.
Yeah. Did you hear, and this is going back a little bit when you were talking about the brands, did you hear about the guy, this was like, so he was like supposed to, I don't know what celebrity he is or who he is, but when he posted like a photo of him like drinking his protein shake, the caption underneath said, please post this at 4:15 p.m.
Oh yeah,
and
that
right,
was, what's it, Scott Disick.
Is that what
yeah,
it was?
Yeah, uh-huh.
And it's like, God, it's like so, it's like, man, you don't even know what's real anymore.
Yeah, it is weird, because I mean, I get emails all the time from brands and companies who, I mean, I don't really consider myself an influencer because I don't, you know, it's weird. As a professional photographer, I'm trying to promote my work. But there are a lot of people who are just really successful at Instagram, who have day jobs, who have a great, a good reach, that they're happy to promote other brands because this is more of like a, you know, a hobby kind of or part-time job for them if they're making a lot of money from it. But yeah, I mean, it's really weird concept.
That's a little whoopsie there, where it starts to. It's like you just got to peek behind the curtain that you shouldn't have seen. There in some cases where you're making slips and people are promoting, but it's like, I don't know. I think none of us like to know that we're being sold to. We all want to be sold to without knowing it. Because you look at celebrities like the Kardashians. They're not just like. They have brand, they have image, mm-hmm. but they're selling something at the end of the day. So I'm going to assume that if, and I don't follow them on Instagram, but if I did, I'm going to assume that even that casual relaxing on the couch photo was thought out and planned.
Right.
And it's like, when's the good time to post this for our brand? So
yeah, and there's a lot of opportunities that come my way, but they just make no sense for me. Like you know, so many brands are still trying to tap into that Instagram market, and I mean, I straight up tell them, like, I know you want to pay me some money, but my following isn't gonna appreciate this. You're gonna get zero return for your dollar. Like, I'm not just gonna get pissed off at me. Yeah, I'm not just gonna post a photo of this product and say I like it, or this new app you're trying to launch that I don't even know what it does. And what good would it do either one of us? But I do, you know, I think there's definitely a time and a place for it, like if it makes sense. Like, for instance, you mentioned earlier, like, I do some work with 360 Chicago at the mm-hmm. Hancock, and they wanted to promote their, on Monday nights, you can use your tripod up there, and that's, like, a perfect fit for me. Like, I do a lot of nighttime, long-exposure cityscape work, so when they came to me with this idea, it was a totally natural fit, and I was happy to partner with them on that because it's something I do, something I enjoy, and I think other photographers who like my type of work would like this information. So that's, like, you know, to me, that's when... like the epitome of like a good influencer campaign, when the information being put out to the network is one that the network would mutually like as well. So, but it is weird because, like, I guess technically it's an ad when I promote this, but at the same time I'd probably promote it anyway because who doesn't want to go up and shoot with the tripod there at night?
Right.
You know, that's something you haven't really been able to do before unless you wanted to sneak a little one in and, you know, risk getting yelled at.
Right. And, well, I think you could tell the difference when somebody is, like, selling to you because, like, it's a sponsorship, or sometimes you can see through that versus, like, I'm passionate about it. And if they wouldn't have paid me, I probably would have told you anyway about it. And so,
So that's why, I mean, almost every time an opportunity comes along, I just say no because it doesn't fit the type of work I do. Like, no, this... alcoholic beverage in front of the Chicago skyline is not. Yeah, I do skyline cityscape work, but I don't really ever promote drinks on Instagram.
Right.
You know, if I was a food photographer who did drinks really well, maybe working with a beverage company would sort of make sense.
Right.
But yeah, some of the partnerships are sort of weird sometimes.
Yeah, I can imagine. So let's say that you are just an average Instagram user, and I don't necessarily I might not want the brands to come to me. So I want just to have a good following, and I want to have a pretty decent presence, and I want to build that up. I have a little bit, right? Because you join, and so it's like your Facebook friend so and so, and I've got them. I've got my 200 people. I'm finding my voice. I want to do that hashtaggy thingy. How am I really going to increase my followers aside from buying them, which I think is a bad idea for many reasons?
Yeah, it's good to post regularly. I post at least once a day. I mean, usually just once a day. I mean, sometimes twice. If I'm doing something of note that I'm getting cool photos of in the moment, I might post a couple times a day. But you have to do it regularly because every photo you post and then you hashtag, right? That photo is now at the top of all the hashtag searches you've just made. A day later, if you don't post anything and your current following has already liked your photo as much as they could,
right?
Like, no one's going to go through a day's worth of hashtags to find one and then like you. So you have to keep it up.
I mean, how many hashtags should I use when I...
So
How many can and how many should?
How many can and how many you should. So the best, most effective way I found a hashtag is to use maybe two or three in your caption. So, you know, your caption is the area to write whatever you want about the photo. You know, put some context to the image. And if I use a hashtag in the caption, it's one that I want people to see.
Are you saying, so when you say in the caption, should yes. should I write the caption hashtag like right in that same section? Or am I writing my sentence like enjoying my time at hashtag out of Chicago with my new friends that are hashtag, and you know, are you writing the sentence with the hashtags built in, which
a little bit
like, okay, or do you write the full sentence like enjoying out of Chicago 2016, we're totally partying at Bar Louie, and then you go hashtag out of Chicago hashtag Bar Louie, let's say. Or does it not really matter?
It doesn't matter so much. I think earlier you'd see captions that were like having hashtag fun with my hashtag friends in the hashtag sun
right.
on this hashtag
I don't know,
beautiful.
That's annoying.
Right.
It's so annoying reading that.
Don't do that, but. Like, if I do use a hashtag in the caption, maybe I'll use one in a sentence. Like, I think the one I posted this morning, I said I used OOC 2016 in the sentence.
Okay.
But I don't, like, make a sentence of hashtags. Because I use that hashtag because that's the one people are going to see. So I want people to search it for whatever reason. Like when I post about Tripod Mondays at the Hancock, I use 360 Tripod Mondays in the caption. But then I will go in and add a comment to my photo, and that's where I add my up to 30 hashtags minus okay. whatever I put in the caption.
And why wouldn't you do it in the caption?
I think it's just a clutter thing. And to some degree, as much as we love hashtags, I think people also despise seeing people use hashtags because we know it's like okay for me to use hashtags, but when you see someone else use 30 right. hashtags, you're like, it's like a cry for attention, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, well, maybe if I only use one, they see only one hashtag, they won't know. You know, it's like the big secret. It's
as
like,
long as they don't read the comment section.
Right. We love to hate the hashtag, or we hate to, either way, kind of a clutter thing too. You know, you just don't want to see this big block of blue clickable links because mm-hmm. It's a little distracting. You want people to focus on the hashtag you want people to focus on.
So you're giving the, like when you say those two or three, those are the ones, and this I remember from the class, so I guess I could just say the section for you, but like you might want to send your viewers down that wormhole of that hashtag.
Correct.
You're almost promoting that hashtag.
Exactly, yeah.
Got it, okay.
Yeah, so like for OOC, you know, I want my followers to maybe click on that hashtag and see what people at Out of Chicago has been doing this year.
Right, versus the hashtag Blue Hour.
Right, Blue Hour, Cityscape, Shy Texture, My Chicago picks, you know, it's the ones you put in the caption are for show, while the ones you put in the comment are really to search engine optimize your mm-hmm. post, so to speak.
Right. Okay, so it's like self SEO within Instagram, basically.
Exactly.
All right, so we've got that, and then you just sort of hope for the best, because it's a really slow, I mean, when I started doing it, even when you have that effort, just as you said, you're posting one photo per day, because I find sometimes I have that notification set for people to alert mm-hmm. me when they post a photo, and then I notice that, you know, when they're posting three or four a day, I'm like, all right, I don't really need to see that many.
Yeah,
today. But it's a slow process. There's really no quick way to do it.
Mm-mm.
And what I've heard, and I don't know if this is true, but I read like some tech article where maybe there's algorithms. Like we never know what their algorithms are, but
right.
if you're looking at like buying your followers, these accounts are typically not going to be very interactive. And so where you get ranked on Instagram may come into play in the fact of how many people are you interacting with and how many are
right.
interacting with you. So. So yeah, there's
so much
to
it. It's going
to
become even a weirder world, I think, as the algorithm evolves. But
right.
I had a really good point. Oh, well, you know, even despite the algorithm, whatever it's going to do, I'm still a firm believer on posting at the busiest times that people view Instagram. And again, that's something that I've noticed over time. Later at night, like for whatever reason, 10 p.m. for me seems to be my bread and butter.
Really?
10 p.m. on a Thursday.
You're told like 9 a.m. or 10 a.m., something like that. People get into the office, at least for Facebook.
Yeah, 10 p.m., whatever. I don't know if like, you know, the TV show ends, they're in their bed, they're scrolling through their phone, and that seems to work best for me.
Is it like 10:02 or is it 9:58
p.m.? 9:58. I try and just get a little ahead, so
right there, okay.
So it's close to the top, but you know, it is kind of a weird, it's an addictive game sometimes to try and figure out what's going to work well.
Okay.
Sometimes I post a great photo on an off hour. At least I think it's great. Maybe other people think it's great, but for whatever reason, it doesn't seem like as many people see it. You know, especially on a like the one I posted this morning. It was. You know, it's Sunday mid-afternoon on a beautiful day. You know, people are out and about. They're not all looking at their phones. So, you know, trying to track what you may estimate, you know, the human activity to be at that time of day
like herding cats almost. Yeah.
But weekdays seem to be better than weekends. You know, weekends are sometimes nice to kind of take a little bit of a break because not as many people seem to be on it.
Sure. And you're out with your family, maybe.
And it's like, you know, as much time as I spend on Instagram, sometimes it's nice to not be going through that feed all the time or posting and, you know, replying back to all the comments.
Sure.
Because it's a lot of work.
And then the final question, we're like beyond over time, I think, here, but, you know, I'm sorry. If you have to go somewhere, I'm certainly not letting you go at the moment. But if I want to post photos, I know that some people are purists and like every photo that you see was captured by my phone and maybe I used filters, maybe not. Then there's other people who are posting their professionally edited photos from their SLR. Is there one way or another? Is it pretty much do whatever I want with it?
I would say do whatever you want. I mean, there definitely was a time early on where a lot of people were starting, for a lot of people, Instagram was their first introduction to photography. So, you know, there was a hashtag that was super, I'm sure it's still popular, but it was iPhone only. And, you know, there were the iPhone purists. And for me, because I'd been using a DSLR for years before, like I just started posting my work because that's what I had to share. But it was really funny because the first Instameet I ever went on was a pretty big group. And I think I was like the only one of the few with a SLR. Someone like pointed that out. He's like, "This is an Instameet, man." Like, kind of half joking, but still enough to where I was like, "This is how it is, huh?"
Yeah.
And now, if you go to an Instameet, you see all sorts of gear. You know, people are already clamoring for like now people have been shooting. You know, first it was the full format. Now it's like medium format. So many Sonys and interchangeable lenses and DSLRs are, you know, you see people taking something with their phone and then it goes back in their pocket and they pull out all the big gears. So nowadays, I think it's from a little bit of everything. So there would be no backlash, I don't think, from posting, you know, the highest quality camera you can, because I think that's kind of gone quite a ways away as people have. Like I said, it was their first introduction to photography, and then people started getting better, and then they realized, oh, this iPhone is powerful, but it's no longer fitting my need, and they started upgrading, and they kept posting to Instagram with their new work.
Yeah, and it makes sense in what you said earlier, where as long as you're telling that story, that narrative, like, you know, the guy with the knives, he is clearly posting probably mostly cell phone shots that I'm looking at, and that works for him. That tells and completes the story, whereas for, like, a high-end high-fashion photographer, it might be the final product that they see. So that seems to be what it is. It's like, find your unique voice, stick with that story, and I mean, I think it all kind of comes together
post,
there.
Post daily and interact with other people.
Yeah.
That's another important part. You can't just push out your work and wait for everyone to come rushing back to you. You know, you have to let people know you exist and, you know, check out other, you know, if you want your work to be checked out, that means you know, that same person, like, you should be checking out their work because they want their work to be checked out. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So on, I don't often say, like, what's your Instagram, but in this show, why don't we tell listeners what our Instagrams are. What's yours?
I'm Nick_Ulivary. That's Nick_Ulivary.
Yeah, that's you decided to stick with the name on that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I did. I did stick with the name on that one. I on Twitter, I'm Shy Photo Guy. Like,
oh, there you
C-H-I.
Go.
I like it, but I kind of like being myself more.
Right. Because you are, then you are the brand.
Which yeah.
Which is different.
I mean, Shy Photo Guy is nice and easy to remember, and I was really happy with it. I still am, but I like my name, you know. I am me, so I figured it's a way to be.
Yeah, you are you, so that's good. I'm Michael Novo 9. Mine's pretty simple, and that's the number 9. I don't think I've ever announced my Instagram, but hey, if somebody's interested, they're welcome to check it out and leave me nasty comments on my photo. and if they want to find out more about you, your website, your work, because there's much more that you do, as we talked about
there
in the
is.
Very beginning, but we did not have time to talk about. So
luckily, I recently got a shorter URL, so now it's just nuphoto.com.
And you. Wow.
And you.
You got a two-letter?
I did.
Wow. How'd you score that? That's not easy to get those.
Someone was parked on it, and they weren't doing anything with it, and they didn't have a need for it, so I actually got it for not a whole lot of money, surprisingly.
Okay. Yeah, and I looked at some of those. They're like, we'd like to talk at, sure, 10 grand and above. I'm like,
yeah, no, nowhere near that at all. It was pretty awesome.
That's great. No, that's excellent to hear. Maybe I'll take a stab at some of those URLs that I've been aiming for again. So, nu.com.
Nuphoto.com.
Nuphoto.com.
Yeah, maybe if it was just nu, I'd be talking 10 grand, but
okay.
Nuphoto.com. But that's still better than trying to spell it NikkiLaveriaPhotography.com.
Right.
That's cumbersome.
Well, my real last name is Novoseletsky, so that you can imagine if I used Michael NovoseletskyPhotography.com.
Yeah, way too long.
Might as well throw in my cat's name and everything else. Nick Ulivieri, thank you so much for taking
you.
The time.
I appreciate it.
This is the end. We're right at the end of the conference. We're all tired. We're ready to go, but we cranked this one out. Very informative for me. I think it's wonderful. I'm going to get back there. You got me into the Instagram thing last year.
That's good to hear.
So you were my motivation. I'll keep you updated. I'll hopefully see you before next year, but I'll definitely update you on how things have been progressing. And if it hasn't been working, then I'll blame you.
Yes, perfect.
Right. So,
because the other thing, the disclaimer I should have said is that what works for me might not work for you.
Right.
So, you know, just in case.
Nope, that disclaimer, we're going to edit that part out of the show. So, Nick Ulivieri, thank you so much for your time, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, man. We'll